Good afternoon, everybody, and we're delighted that you could join us for our webinar titled Mail Meets Mobile, Combining Physical and Digital to Deliver Better Results for Your Customers. We want to give a special thank you to Pitney Bowes for sponsoring this. You know, as digital technology becomes much more accepted in the marketplace, not only from the younger generations, but even old people like me, we all become much larger users of technology. And we connect physical marketing messages with the digital channel, and we want to ensure that we do that so that our marketing campaigns are more effective. Today, what we're going to be talking about is how companies can blend print with mobile to achieve better results. And you're going to hear a lot about things like mobile barcodes, near-field communications, intelligent mail barcodes, augmented reality, and most importantly, how the U.S. Postal System is providing incentives to encourage you to use these technologies to build out better campaigns. Now, before we get started, I want to make first and foremost a quick introduction of speakers in that I'll be presenting some of the key technology topics, but I'm also joined by Vicki Stevens, and she's the Director of Mailing Services for the U.S. Postal Service. I also want to give you a few tips for enjoying today's webinar. First of all, if you're having any technical difficulties, you can let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the help widget below. We'll be taking questions throughout the webinar, and if you want to submit a question, all you need to do is use the Q&A box. Make sure that you've disabled pop-up blockers, and if you want to see what the console can do, all you need to do is click on the Tips for Attendee widget for a complete rundown. Now, to get started, what I'm going to do is open up the webinar by talking about some of those emerging technologies that we're seeing in the marketplace. Vicki's going to join in and talk about the impact that those technologies have on direct mail. We'll wrap up with some recommendations and conclusions, and as I indicated, we'll take Q&A throughout the webinar. Now, one of the big things that's changed in the marketplace is customer expectations. There have never been more options with which to engage customers, and because we're dealing with an always tuned in, turned on clientele, what you want to be able to do is not just deliver a direct mail piece, but what you want to be able to do is deliver and drive a customer experience. And what we're seeing is that print can play an incredibly vital role in today's multi-channel world. What print service providers are trying to do is look at the technologies that are out there and techniques to make print interactive and best position marketers to move people back and forth between traditional channels and digital channels and build out a very, very unified and cohesive experience. What we've kind of done is coined a new word, and it's really in this media model that we're dealing with today, blending traditional media with digital media so that you get a true tradigital model. And I think the big message here is it's the power of print combined with digital that will encourage people to engage in that overall experience. Print is absolutely an essential component, and what we're seeing is, especially when companies want to acquire new customers or they want to resuscitate a dormant client, print is a critical driver in terms of that relationship. And marketers are pursuing media channels that will deliver then a holistic experience that integrates all communications to drive results. And that includes, by the way, both revenue and response. InfoTrends recently did a study, and it was titled Vertical Markets, Enterprise Communications Requirements. And what we've discovered from that study was that in today's new media world, print has not lost its luster. But rather what it's doing is it's sharing the spotlight with other forms of media. And what we did with the study was we actually surveyed more than 1,000 enterprises that had more than 500 employees, and we did that across 10 vertical markets. It included automotive and education, financial services, insurance, government, healthcare, hospitality, retail, manufacturing, utilities. And what we discovered was that the enterprise market clearly invests very heavily in communications products and thus is a critical market to watch. These enterprise firms reported that print accounted for more than a third of their communication spending in the past year. And while it's going to decline as a percent of their overall spend, when they projected what they'd be spending in the next couple of years, what it said was they would continue to spend 30% roughly of that budget on print. Now, the areas of growth, clearly mobile is integral to the mix, and that's going to increase by more than 8% in the next 2 years. People will continue to spend on online web communications. Well, the shifting communications dollars might not seem like good news for printers. In fact, it opens up what we categorize as new opportunity for those that are willing to help customers in terms of diversified communications programs. And what we're seeing is that it's important for that service provider to effectively integrate and manage all of the components. And so there's opportunity for new revenue streams if I'm a print service provider. Now, one of the other big messages out of the study was that mobile is the bridge that's going to link the physical and the digital worlds. Print that includes things like mobile barcodes and augmented reality, texting, it enables interactivity and engagement across all media. The printed codes can be read by mobile devices, and they can be used to display additional information. They can be used to gather a coupon. And while a lot of these technologies have been around for a while, what we are seeing is usage is joining, is increasing on behalf of consumers. Now, we're going to talk about three specific technologies, and Vicki's going to share with you how the U.S. Postal Service is, in fact, encouraging utilization of these technologies. But the first is mobile codes, and those are the mobile barcodes that encourage people to scan that code to display additional content. Typically, an app is required, and we're seeing, QR codes in brochures, direct mail, magazines, and signage. The second is near-field communications, and that's really a short-range contactless communication between a mobile device and other media types. You don't need to download an app. The process is actually automatic with Android phones, and I'm going to spend a minute talking about what's going on with Apple. And then the printed materials have a little tag on them that includes a transmitter that's embedded in the print, and it's embedded on a sticker that's affixed to print. And then the last technology is augmented reality. And basically what augmented reality does is it augments the real world with computer-generated input. When I download an app, I can use a camera or a PC as well as a mobile phone to read with that, that's equipped with that app to read a marker on the page, and then a virtual image will overlay the device's screen. Let's start with mobile barcodes. There's a number of different barcodes out in the marketplace today, everything from Microsoft tags to JAG tags and Snap tags. If you sit down with any major magazine, you'll see anywhere from probably 18 to 20 QR codes of some sort in that magazine. And in fact, every now and then I'll sit down and I'll open the airline magazine when I'm traveling. And I was on a United flight last week with the Hemisphere magazine, and I kind of chuckled because it had 18 QR codes in the airline magazine in an environment where your cell phone is supposed to be disabled. But they're an easy and effective way to integrate traditional media with a mobile device. And what we've learned when we talk to consumers is that both the awareness and the use of mobile barcodes is growing. We did a study in 2011, and we asked about familiarity with mobile barcodes. And quite honestly, even in that time frame, it was relatively high. It's grown a little bit. But the big thing that we saw when we compared 2011 to 2013, and we talked to several hundred consumers, was that the utilization of those barcodes has gone up exponentially. And in fact, it's almost doubled in the last 24 months. Now, what are those consumers doing? Well, first and foremost, they're using those barcodes to learn about specific products and services. I don't know if any of you have been to a Costco or a Best Buy, but as you walk down the aisles in the store, a lot of the merchandise has a QR code. I can point and click on that, and I can garner additional information about a specific product or service. I got a direct mail piece in the mail yesterday with a QR code in it about a new product offering, and I clicked on the QR code, downloaded the app, clicked on the QR code, and it linked to a video about a new product offering. I can use those QR codes to download or get a discount. Some people are just testing the codes, or I can use them to enter a sweepstakes. So a number of different applications relative to the use of QR codes. I wanted to give you just a couple of quick examples of where we're seeing them being used today. There's an organization focused on atrial fibrillation. It's called StopAFib.org. And what they've done is nonprofits have said, hey, there's a number of possibilities with mobile barcodes. And what they want to do is engage donors. And they're doing that with direct mail pieces. And the codes are used in the direct mail to provide fast access to online donation vehicles. They're linked to videos so that donors can actually hear firsthand about the differences that their donations will make. And they're being used in signage and packaging as well. Now, StopAFib.org, I mentioned, is a nonprofit. And what they're doing is they're using direct mail with QR codes to educate patients that have been diagnosed with atrial fibrillation. And so it's a very, very effective use relative to helping both get donations as well as educate somebody that's afflicted with a specific disease. I get a lot of questions about near-field communications versus quick response codes. So let me spend a minute explaining both of these technologies and how they compare and contrast with each other. NFC tags don't require an app to be downloaded if you've got an Android phone because that phone is pre-enabled to read that tag. And what it does is if I've got an NFC-enabled phone, I can establish radio connection with a printed piece that's embedded with a NFC tag by simply touching that or getting my cell phone in close proximity. Basically, what it does is NFC adds chip technology to print, and it creates an effortless interaction between an NFC-enabled mobile device. And so it's a powerful tool in terms of getting print and mobile to interact. Now, when we look at NFC technology, we're seeing a number of different uses in the marketplace. One of them is tap to pay, which enables consumers to make payments by tapping their mobile device against an NFC-enabled payment terminal. There's basically a touch to learn, and that's really the most relevant application for print. And what happens is the mobile device can then access content by coming in close proximity to tags. And then there's pair and share, and in this scenario, NFC-enabled devices can communicate with one another, for instance, connecting a laptop to a printer. Now, we asked consumers about their use of NFC tags, and the message inside of that is that it's actually gaining traction in terms of customer engagement. And what people have said is, hey, I've made a payment, I've exchanged information, I've redeemed a ticket, I've redeemed a pass, those types of things using near-field communications. We're also seeing that NFC has arrived for print. And here are a number of examples that are incorporating near-field communications. In one example, you've got a direct mail piece for a state political campaign. Now, regardless of your political persuasion, it's kind of an interesting use. But what happened was the NFC tag was embedded in the piece. And what happened is I could then connect to a video of the candidate so that I could hear his perspective on important issues. We've seen NFC tags that are connected to recipes such that I can then look at and learn and download all the ingredients to my phone and then actually get a video of how somebody should prepare that. And we're also seeing it in things like outdoor signage and any number of things. The key message is that it's actually a pretty easy way to integrate print and direct mail with using the NFC tags. And this actually demonstrates what needs to happen. The simplest way to add an NFC tag to print is through a sticker. By the way, you can log on to the website and say, I want to order NFC stickers, and it'll link you to a number of sites that you could order them from. Stickers can be placed on the print material with a manual application or automated tabbing. And then plain stickers or customer printed stickers are also available. There are a number of options to buy them, and the price range can be from a few cents to a couple dollars depending upon the type of tag and the volume that you order. You can also sandwich tags between layers of paper because a line of sight isn't actually a requirement for that NFC tag. What happens then is you're going to program that tag so that what happens is when your cell phone comes within reach of that tag, it will link you to the appropriate action or web destination. You can program it yourself, or some manufacturers will handle the encoding. And there are also firms out there that actually specialize in NFC coding. Now, big question. What about Apple and the iPhone 6? Well, the message is there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is Apple has embedded the ability to do NFC applications in the phone. The bad news is the only application that they've enabled is Apple Pay. So it's really a transaction-oriented approach. Now, they did this back in 2013 with iTouch, and then they opened it up and provided application programming interfaces for iTouch in 2014. Our view is that they're going to start with Apple Pay and that you as service providers need to be prepared for NFC, because Apple will open up the iPhone 6 in terms of the applications for it and linking it to print. Now, the reason it's so important, quite honestly, is that when you think about it, 70% of U.S. consumers have smartphone and 50% are going to be NFC enabled. Apple will definitely open up the interface and it'll become part of the ecosystem that you need to integrate with print. There are a number of NFC technology providers out there. There's an NFC forum that you can participate in. And so I recommend to everybody that you really want to make sure that you take the time to understand, learn, and experiment now with NFC tags. Logic behind it, consumers are learning how to use it. The number of NFC-enabled mobile devices is growing. Marketers are engaging, and interactive print applications are growing today, and they're going to continue to grow. Now, the next major technology that you can use to make print interactive is augmented reality. And I get a lot of questions about what augmented reality is. I tell everybody, if you watch football, you've seen augmented reality for years. What they do is they overlay that little yellow line during the football games to show you where the player needs to go to get a first down. That's augmented reality. It's when the real world is augmented by computer data. Now, let me give you a couple of examples of what we see happening in the marketplace. Again, we went out and we surveyed consumers. And we talked to, in late 2013, more than 600. We compared that to 2011 numbers, where we interviewed roughly 600. What we saw was that the familiarity with augmented reality climbed some, and it climbed more if we gave them examples. What we also saw was that the use of augmented reality grew fairly substantially in terms of the consumers actually engaging with it. The big applications, fun and entertainment, gaming, they were using it to find a location or to garner additional information. I happened to last week be at a friend's house who has a five-year-old, and they had a game on the back of the cereal box that was an augmented reality game where I could move a marble through a maze. Well, the message inside of that was that when the cereal box is empty and mom threw it away, her little son Joey wanted the same cereal that had the game on the back of the box. And so we're seeing it as a brand builder in a number of different instances. Now, why is it important? Well, if you look at some of the research data, first of all, the number of AR-enabled smartphones has topped 864 million. Juniper Research says that AR apps generate $300 million in revenues. By the time we get to 2017, the AR apps will be at $5.2 billion. Juniper also said that the number of AR apps that are going to be downloaded to smartphones and tablets by 2017 will exceed 2.5 billion. And so when you think about how this technology works, it's cutting across any number of applications. If you're in the direct mail market, we're seeing it used extensively in catalogs, where I can overlay markers on a page, and then I can make that page pop to life. One of the most prevalent examples was IKEA did that with their direct mail Christmas catalog last year. And what they did is they actually embedded markers on all the pages, and what I had the ability to do was point and click on an item I might be interested in purchasing, and let's assume it was a sofa. I could then overlay that sofa in my physical room to see what it would look like, both in terms of dimensions as well as in terms of color. What we're seeing in a lot of instances is that AR marketing techniques, well, they were gimmicky to start out with, are really shifting to actual real-world practical applications. I like to use one other example, which is the IKEA one. If you buy a product today from IKEA, what you'll have is a series of instructions and a link to augmented reality video content. Now, I don't know how many gentlemen I have on the line today, and I don't want to offend anybody, but my husband happens to be not incredibly good at reading directions. Alternatively, he bought a table from IKEA. It's the first time ever, because it linked to a video, that he didn't have extra parts that he didn't know what to do with. And so those kinds of things are helping people in terms of market messaging. What we're finding is that the usefulness and the practical AR print applications are going to continue to drive market demand across the entire industry. Now, what we're going to do next is we're going to shift gears, and I'm going to turn it over to Vicki, and Vicki's going to share with you how the Postal Service is actually encouraging you to leverage augmented reality and mobile barcodes and any number of things so that you can make it practical for your customers, and your customers are going to want to leverage the technology. So with that, I'm going to turn over to Vicki, and she's going to share with you a USPS perspective on how mail and mobile come together. Vicki, take it away.
Thank you, Barb. I really appreciate your sharing all this information. There's so much exciting change going on in terms of technology, and we're really pleased at the Postal Service to be able to bring through programs that really incentivize the application and use of these technologies in combination with the mail and really help deliver better results for the mailers, for the marketers, for the companies who are engaging in any kind of a media outreach. So thanks for the great setup for this. We're really excited to bring these two pieces together. One of the things that you said, Barb, that I love is the power of print combined with digital really enriches that experience and the potential upside for consumers and for the companies leveraging these technologies. So we're really excited to bring this together today. Okay. So the great news here is that the Postal Service is actively working on adapting mail. When you think of mail as rather a traditional, you know, it's been around for hundreds of years. We're adapting mail to a digital world and trying to leverage the best of both sides of the digital and the physical. We're developing technologies that truly promote innovation and enable participants in the field to leverage it in new ways and exciting ways to help drive results and delivering new solutions to make that happen. So we're making it easier. We're really helping people to adapt their technology and leveraging use of the mail. So our strategy in general from our mailing services team and from the Postal Service is really to embrace these technologies, to understand them as they're emerging, understand how we can incorporate those features and capabilities in the programs and the initiatives that we're supporting, and encourage integration with the mail. So Barb, thanks. You did a great job of setting up, queuing up a lot of the dialogue around the technologies that are out there. And Barb listed the key ones that we're really seeing come through the promotions and the campaigns that we have available. Use of the mobile barcodes, image recognition, augmented reality, NFC. So these are all keystone technology solutions that we can bring together with the mail. Our strategy is really to drive this long-term product value. We want the mail to be relevant. We want it to be effective. We want customers to engage differently and drive better results. So these are things that are core to the strategy. We want to leverage our promotions and the campaigns that we established to really help lead innovation and to help the mailing and marketing community to drive usage of these technologies and accelerate some of the best practices that we learn as we adapt these programs year after year. We also want to promote the experiences that we're learning from you as marketers, as mailers, to promote awareness of these technologies and engagement with the customers so that you can realize some of the benefits that we think are above and beyond the technology itself when it's paired with mail. So our targets are, like I mentioned, really the marketers and the business customers who are seeking to get the best bang for the buck out of your marketing spend, your outreach to customers, and eventually also to customers so that they can take best advantage of the technologies, of the mailings, of the information that you put out there and get most out of their experience. So Barb touched on each of these technologies. These mobile technologies are all actively featured in the promotional campaigns that we have running and have initiated over the last couple of years. The lion's share of the activity is really with the QR codes and mobile barcodes, those formats. Augmented reality has really taken off in the last year or so. And near-field communication is a little bit earlier in its development and implementation cycle. But I think, as Barb mentioned, with the Apple release a couple of weeks ago, we expect to see some real changes there. So we want to make sure that we're understanding and supporting the implementation and leveraging the best of what each of these technologies have to offer.
Vicki, I have a question that came in, and it's a curiosity. You know, given all the mail that the work that you all are doing, what's your perspective on the level of awareness in the market of these technologies?
I would say that the level of awareness, it would sort of mimic some of the consumer responses that you were showing in your charts a moment ago. A couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, the implementation of, for example, QR codes in the United States was virtually non-existent. It's been prevalent in, for example, in Japan for many years, but the penetration here in the United States was really superficial, as few as, say, 3 or 4 years ago. Yep. When the Postal Service engaged in some of those early promotional programs that featured the QR codes, the application of those type digital barcodes in the mail pieces, we found that over the course of a couple of years, that the implementation of QR codes, both in the mail and in other places as well, really began to skyrocket. For consumers, the understanding and usage of QR codes is very high. They understand what they are and how to use them. In the mailing industry, you know, we're not there yet. There's still certainly some opportunity there. But it's come a long way over the last couple of years. There's been some significant growth, and we're starting to see a lot more implementation in the mail, as well as through other print media and other outlets, I think in part because we're encouraging and incentivizing some of the use and application of these codes.
Yeah, just a quick comment, Vicki. I got one of our participants online. And one of the things that he indicated was that, you know, kind of mobile barcodes are techie-oriented and they're not driving incremental response rates. And I want to make a quick comment on that, and then I'll turn it back over to you. But one of the big things that we're seeing when you look at these technologies is that the fundamentals of direct mail haven't changed. I have to have that QR code, that NFC tag, that augmented reality, easy to use, item one. The second piece, though, is it has to be connected with good creative, a great offer, and a call to action. What we saw early on, whether it was direct mail or other applications, was that the QR code didn't link to a high-quality mobile-enabled site, that the call to action wasn't a good call to action, that the offer wasn't a great offer. They just used technology for the sake of technology. And that doesn't work. The fundamentals when you're using any of these technologies are still very consistent with any type of direct mail. It has to be and have those inherent values in terms of sending something into the mail stream. So just a quick comment to respond to one of our listeners. So I'll turn it back over to you, Vicki.
Okay, thank you, Barb. Yeah, I think as both marketers and people who are, you know, applying these technologies to whatever media that they're preparing, print media, mail media, as everyone is learning about the application, there are certainly a number of best practices that have emerged over the course of the first couple of years of running and incentivizing these kinds of campaigns. And I think, Barb, you hit on one of them. The call to action is critical. What we refer to as directional copy, so that there's directions. How do I use this thing that's on this piece of paper that's in front of me, so that the consumer knows what to do and how to use it? Those kinds of best practices make a significant difference in consumers' ability to leverage and really experience all of the back-end customer experience that we really want them to have and the results that we want them to achieve. And Barb, I think the other point that you made about mobile optimization, that's definitely on our best practice list and, in fact, was incorporated into our requirements for the mobile or for our incentive programs in this calendar year, because that makes such a big difference in the consumer experience. If they can't truly see and use what's on the back end of these offers and links in an optimized way that works on their device, it really minimizes the effectiveness. So that one we found, I agree with your comment, to be really critical to achieving effective results, to the point that we built it into our campaign, or into our requirements, I should say. Okay, so I'm going to shift gears just a little bit on to the augmented reality side. You know, augmented reality is one of those things that is a wonder to behold. The first time that people see and experience augmented reality, it drives a really favorable reaction. People love to see the potential. And I think as the technology and the offerings that are available to help support the development of augmented reality content have evolved, the experiences that we can bring to our users have really improved as well. So we're on the left half of the screen, you can see a couple of examples where it's an application of augmented reality. And the one on the left, the person holds up their device to their wrist, and then using the augmented reality can try on a variety of watches, styles, colors, models. So it's a great way for a consumer to kind of shop and see what they like on their wrist without leaving the comfort of their home. The piece on the right with the shark, this was actually from a real mail piece, and the mail piece itself looks like water, and when the augmented reality application is engaged, the shark jumps right out. And so it's a really impressive experience for the user. We've really changed our requirements. As people have gained experience and we've gained experience and learned more from our mailers and our marketing communities about what has helped them achieve the best results, that's how we've adjusted our requirement set. So in this year's augmented reality, we expect more to happen from these pieces. The requirements say it's not good enough to just do something, you know, pop up a button or pop up some information. It has to do something more, rotate or shift or move or do something exciting. And this shark piece, although you see it very much a single dimension on the screen here, that one was absolutely one of our favorites because it really took the best advantage of the physical mail piece and turning it into something more to really engage those consumers differently.
Yeah, Vicki, I just got a quick question. I'm going to take a second while you've got an AR slide up here to explain
sure.
it. Somebody asked, you know, how are these augmented reality pieces created and what happens with these in terms of is it a physical tag like NFC? Let me explain, and I'll do it in kind of layman's terms. But there's a number of applications where I'll build out a mobile application, and it might be Blipper or Layer or Mateo or Total Immersion. It's a software package. And what happens is I can then print markers on a piece of paper when I'm doing the production, and what will happen is I'll identify what those markers look like to the augmented reality application, and it will then pick up those markers and do whatever those markers are linked to from a programmatic perspective. And yesterday I did actually a webinar on augmented reality with books, and there's a company called Popar, P-O-P-A-R, and they demonstrated how they could sit down and use a tool set called Qualcomm to do the programming. So it's really building out a mobile app. That app recognizes a marker on a page, and then it does whatever that app is instructed to do when it picks up that marker. So hopefully that was my Barb Pello layman's definition. So I just wanted to make sure, as long as we had an augmented reality slide up, Vicki, that we covered that.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I'm glad you covered that part. So I think augmented reality from the perspective of the Postal Service, you know, when you get a fabulous piece that really comes to life, like in this shark example, this does great things for us. You know, people interact differently with mail than they do with digital media alone. People will hold a mail piece. They'll retain it. They'll keep it for longer periods of time. Their interaction is different with it because it's a physical thing. It's tangible. It's right in front of them. And so if you can drive an experience that is so surprising or so delightful for the consumer, they're going to hold on to that mail piece. They will continue to go back and you know, leverage that experience. So there's some really great potential to engage your customers differently and in an exciting way. Some of the technologies behind, you know, the various barcode formats and all of these emerging technologies also allow you to change the experience from a single device. So the second time that someone accesses that from the same device, you might choose to deliver a new experience or additional information, or continue to enhance the experience that that customer or user has over time. So it's not just a one-and-done experience. You can actually evolve what your consumer is interacting with based on that device, being leveraged on multiple occasions. So there's really exciting potential, both from a mail perspective and from the delivery of the customer experience and what you can, as marketers and mail providers, hope for your customers to get out of it. So, on the mobile barcode side, the real goal is, whether it's a mobile barcode or honestly any of these technologies, is to really generate an immediate market response. We want to drive to purchase behaviors or to an expected, a desired outcome, to a specific call to action. We know from research in the industry that the users of these technologies tend to be, from a demographic perspective, they tend to be more affluent. They tend to be more educated. They tend to be younger. And so that opens up unique marketing opportunities if you're seeking to target those particular groups. The great news is we're seeing great expansion in who's actually leveraging these technologies and the demographics of these groups. So there's great potential. We know that we can target the folks who have money to spend, who are really engaged with their devices, and we can really reach an audience in a unique way. Okay, so why do we want to add mobile technology to print? Where do we want to go with this? Here's some of the other statistics that are behind this, and I'm sure you've seen some of these related statistics. As of January of this year, 90% of American adults have a cell phone. 58% of American adults have a smartphone. 32% own some type of an e-reader, and 42% own a tablet. And of course, as Barb mentioned, with the enhancement of NFC and the new iPhone, we're going to see some real growth opportunities there. And a lot of this is evolving as well. We see multi-screen behaviors emerging. So there's a lot of evolution going on as the technology is developing. Barb also mentioned some of these keys for successful campaigns. The call to action, as Barb mentioned, that's really vital. You want to be sure that on these pieces that there's a clear outcome for the consumer, for the user to pursue. We want to make sure that the technology behind it, that the sites are mobile enabled so that there's a good experience. We also want to make sure that the resulting action can be completed. So together, these three pieces are really part of that best practice set that enables you to get better results by combining these mobile technologies along with the physical mail piece. Here's the cycle that we look at as we begin to incorporate these innovations and how they relate back to the mail. So if you look at the top of the circle there, the Postal Service promotes mail innovations and the promotional calendar, those elements of the promotional calendar, so that you can begin to be incentivized to incorporate these new technologies. As our participants engage and they deliver enhanced mail pieces that meet the requirements of the promotion, we begin to see improved customer engagement as a result of the enhancements in these mail pieces. Along with that, further around the circle, this also provides the potential for greater response rates for enhanced or additional customer acquisitions, which in turn drives the ROI for the spend on the mailing. So this circle will continue to evolve, and as new technologies and new capabilities and best practices are kind of gathered through our experiences together, we'll continue to evolve this wheel and draw the line in the sand a little further each time and help achieve better results in ROI. So we like to think of mail as the jumping off point for mobile engagement, for all these mobile technologies. We talked about the mobile optimized websites. Really, the shopping websites and the company websites, there are so many places that you can drive your users to get more information or to complete transactions. There's just a wealth of opportunity by leveraging the two together. And just to give a little perspective on where we've come together, this is just a quick history of where the past mail and promotion, mail and mobile promotions have covered. In 2011, we initiated the mobile barcode promotions. In 2012, we focused both on mobile commerce and personalization so that the users, the recipients, got a more personalized experience. In 2012, the mobile shopping promotion was initiated, and in 2013, our promotional calendar included specific promotions around emerging technology, around mobile, buy it now, mobile purchase programs. So we've really, over the course of these last couple of years, learned a lot, and learned a lot from you as participants about what really helps drive the best results. One of the things we've heard loud and clear is that mailers and marketers need time to prepare. We are happy to share and be the conduit for these best practices to help you achieve your best possible results. We also want to encourage new use of technology, growing technology, and that integration throughout, and encourage mailers and marketers to try new things. In 2013, we had approximately 90 participants in our emerging technology promotion, over a billion mail pieces qualified, and almost $5 million worth of discounts for the participants in these programs. Most of the participants in last year's emerging technology leveraged augmented reality during their participation.
Now, Vicki, I know that I don't mean to interrupt you, but I know that you had some pretty remarkable statistics relative to the augmented reality side in 2013. Could you share those with the group?
Yes, absolutely, Barb. Based on our experience with the emerging technology programs and augmented reality in particular, for 40% of the participants in emerging technology, it was part of a new campaign at their respective companies. So what this means is they hadn't tried it before. As a result of the program being rolled out, 40% of the participants were trying something new and leveraging it to drive their promotions and their campaigns. Around 90% of the participants purchased an app from a third party. So there's the need for these other applications, these other services to help develop and support these materials, and we had about 145 companies who were engaged in leveraging these third-party services. But the really impressive statistic is that during these campaigns, fully 100% of our participants had not previously used augmented reality on mail pieces prior to the promotion. So by virtue of participation with the promotions calendar and engagement and their ability to achieve a discount, our participants are really driving into new marketing areas, new experiences, and really achieving some interesting results as a consequence of participating and kind of pushing their boundaries on the technologies that they're applying. So some great results from augmented reality in particular in our 2013. In 2013, we also ran the mobile Buy It Now promotion. We had 373 participants and almost 2.5 billion mail pieces that were qualified for the promotion. That's a significant discount, nearly $12 million in discounts, and over 17% of the eligible standard mail volume during that time period actually received the discount. So it's a great way for us together to help encourage the application and use of these new technologies and promotions and help to achieve better results and get a little discount on the side as well. So this is our 2014 promotions calendar. Many of you have participated in this and still have some promotions open. We have two promotions open for the balance of the year. So we're still continuing to execute these through the balance of the fiscal year. And we get a lot of questions about what's on the list for next year. The proposed promotional campaigns for next year are really theme and variations on many of the campaigns that we had running this year. So the first class mail color trans promo promotion will continue. Mail drives mobile engagement promotion, the earned value reply mail promotion, and again, the advanced and emerging technologies promotion. We heard loud and clear from our participants that you'd like a longer window, so that's what we're applying to this one. At this point, we can't share the precise dates. We'll keep you posted on the dates for these programs, but they will all run for longer periods of time, and we're excited to be able to bring these promotions and respond to the feedback that we're getting from our participants about their needs as well. So that gives you an idea of what's ahead for 2015.
Well, that's great. Let me go back, and I've got a few questions, Vicki, for you that came through, and I want to just ask these quickly of you. But the first thing is, I'll weigh in on this as well, but do you have any specific customers that have shared the effectiveness of some of the new technologies on a campaign?
Well, we know anecdotally from a number of participants that over the last couple of years, we've seen some shift in the media spend. People were getting away from the mail and really investing in digital. We've seen that rebound. We've seen a number of customers who stayed in the mail but at a lesser level, they're returning to the mail because they're seeing that, particularly in combination with some of these new and emerging technologies, that they can achieve a much higher ROI, better customer engagement by leveraging both the power of physical mail and the application of these new digital technologies. So while we can't share the specifics from any particular customer, we're really glad to see that trend coming back from a number of folks. And we're actually seeing growth in our standard mail volumes. So that's great news. We're so pleased to see the growth in standard volume. And even from a first-class mail perspective, while, you know, first-class mail has been declining year over year for quite some time now, it appears to have leveled out. We think that because there continues to be value in some of the promotions that we are running that are specific to first-class mail are continuing to help customers with retention and seeing the value in first-class mail and what they can do within those programs as well. So it's great news all around, and it's been a challenging couple of years, but we have great news, and we're seeing great results and some of these anecdotal responses that we're getting, and really it's bearing itself out in the volumes that we're seeing as they come through on these technology promotions.
Great. And I'm going to just share some statistical data. InfoTrends, when we did this study of the 1,000-plus enterprises, what we found out was that for any campaign, and I do have some specific campaigns, I don't have them in this presentation, but any campaign that marketers are running, the average number of media channels that was used for that campaign was, in fact, 3. Now, one of the first things that we found was that if I combined print and email, it was 25% more effective than a print-only campaign. If I blended print and email and a third channel, it was about 35% more effective. And when I blended mobile into the mix, it was 47% more effective. And so we could see the trajectory. I would also tell you that, you know, I continually search for great case histories and those kinds of things. And we'll look at and, you know, analyze and go to the Mobile Marketing Association because they've typically got some very good case histories and scenarios relative to print plus mobile campaigns. Now, I had another question relative to does augmented reality require the creator's unique app? And the answer is there is not a generic augmented reality application. So I may be using Mateo or Total Immersion or Qualcomm or any one of those providers. I have to program that app. I have to educate the customer on how to upload that app to his or her cell phone to make it work with that direct mail piece. So there is an app component. Now, another question that somebody asked was, what about USB web keys? And the answer on that is there's clearly a place for USB web keys. The big message inside of that is that what we're looking at is I may have a consumer and he doesn't have a PC handy, and what he wants to do is make a piece of paper interact with a mobile device. Our view on the world is long-term, there are going to be two types of media really left standing. And the first one is that I'll have a piece of paper. The second one is I'm going to have a mobile device. And the winners in the market are going to be those companies that can make those work together. I tell everybody this story. I have three grandkids. If I send them something in the mail, it gets opened instantaneously. And the reason is it's around their birthday or Christmas, and it's got money in the envelope. If I send them a text message, they will respond in a nanosecond. If I send them an email, I'll never hear back because they don't use a PC like we as business people do in today's marketplace. And so there's a number of options available out there. What we're looking at is some of those kinds of things that make technologies where I've got the piece of paper and the mobile device interact well together. Now, I'm going to wrap up with just a couple of quick comments, and that is, you know, technology is out there, and industry leaders are pursuing it. We're starting to see, as Vicki indicated, traction in the marketplace. Audiences understand and are beginning to use the technologies. And what we want to do is we want to integrate that static piece of paper with a mobile device so that we can engage the audience and educate and entertain and add more value to that print. We're finding that the interactive applications are growing and that, you know, adding interactivity is going to help print service providers increase margins and profits. We're also seeing with the promotions that Vicki's talked about, the fact that the USPS wants to encourage people to make print part of that interactive engagement. You know, clearly, direct mail is more complex. We want to make sure that it's accurate, that we lower the cost per thousand to increase the impact on high quality, and that means, you know, variable data color and offers and barcodes. We want to make sure that you take advantage of those USPS promotions and that you educate your customers on how to make that mail interactive, that you're looking at ways to lower postage costs through automated pre-sorts, and that you're controlling timing and delivery with full-service intelligent mail barcodes. Now, if you do have any questions that we didn't get to, I will make sure that we respond to you via email. And I want to thank Vicki for her time. If you want more information, here are some links for the USPS. You can download this presentation from the Printing Impressions website. And I would really like to thank Pitney Bowes again for being the sponsor today for the webinar. So with that as a backdrop, I'd like to thank everybody for their time and attention, and Vicki, especially you for presenting and sharing content with the audience. Thanks again. Have a great day.